when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We are broadcasting to you from Manchester, New Hampshire today from the Abiding Light Pentecostal Church. This is where this radio broadcast originates from and is sponsored by the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester. We greet each and every one of you once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 with the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We want to invite all of you listeners that have tuned in today to check us out on the web, and that is at abidinglightchurch.com. That is abidinglightchurch.com. And you can also look us up on the Facebook page. We have a Facebook page with information regarding the ministry over here at the Abiding Light, some of our mission work, and some of the things that we're doing over here at the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester. That is at abidinglightchurch.com. And then also our Facebook is Abiding Light Pentecostal Church on the Facebook here in Manchester, Abiding Light Pentecostal Church. Check us out on the Facebook and also on the web. We want to thank all of you that have tuned in once again today. We're going to be bringing in today for a Bible study Pastor Rick DeRosier, Bible teacher, missionary, evangelist. The brother is going to be sharing a Bible study with those of you today that have tuned in. Brother DeRosier, we thank you for once again being with us today, brother.
Beginning today in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Today, this word revival is used so loosely. There are revival meetings, revival services, revival campaigns. What does it mean to revive? A dictionary definition of revive by Webster is return, recall, or recovery to life from death or apparent death as the revival of a drowned person. If someone is unconscious, they must be revived. And the church is in a position today as a whole of needing revival. The prophet prayed, Lord, revive thy work. This is not a work of man. The church is not a work of man. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. What does it mean to revive? True revival involves a spiritual awakening. Paul in Romans wrote, in that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The church needs to be awakened. Many are caught up in form, in ritual. The Bible tells us in the last days that many will have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Revelation chapter 3 describes the current condition of the church as a whole. There are seven letters addressed to seven churches in Revelation, the last letter being that to the church of Laodicea, which means rule or government by the people. These letters, they represent seven periods in church history, prophetically unfolding the periods of the church that were yet to come from the day that John received this revelation on the Isle of Patmos. John received this in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The natural mind will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. We must receive by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He will teach us. He will lead us. He will guide us into all truth. Revelation chapter 3 describes the Laodicean church in verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is Jesus describing not the world. He's writing to the church that says they are rich, that says they are increased with goods. Notice Jesus didn't say they were rich. He said, thou sayest. Now the church today, especially in America, has become very wealthy physically, but very poor spiritually. Where is the power of God today in the churches that once moved in the book of Acts? God is not dead. He is alive. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He has not changed. He is the same from everlasting to everlasting. True revival is not just fast music or emotion or meetings. True revival is not a work of man. The prophet prayed, Lord, revive thy work. The Holy Ghost will produce conviction of sin. A sign of true revival is conviction, where the church is brought back to a right relationship with God, where sinners are brought in, where the backslider comes back, where those who are cold and indifferent receive the fire of God burning in their bosom once again. There will be an abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. God has appointed definite times of revival. The day of Pentecost was a time of revival, of birthing the church and outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The prophet Joel said that God would send the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in due season. That rain is representative of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Man does not control the rain. God controls the rain. The prophet Elijah responded to the instruction of God to go and show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. When Elijah declared, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, when he sent the servant up to look to the sea, he was standing on the word of God. He was praying in faith based on the promise of the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is produced when the word of God is preached. And sadly today, friends, there is a lack of men that will stand in the pulpit and declare, thus saith the Lord. We have many that are telling stories, and they're entertaining, and they're telling people what they want to hear, and they're tickling the ears. God's word is not always popular. They told Jeremiah, don't prophesy anymore. We don't want to hear you, Jeremiah. And they beat him up and put him down in the well. And the prophet Jeremiah, he became discouraged. And he said, I'm not going to prophesy anymore. But then something began to burn down in his soul. And he declared, it's just like fire shut up in my bones. God, give us that fire to burn once again. With men like Jonathan Edwards, who preached that famous sermon in Northampton, Massachusetts, at the end of the 1700s, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. The first great awakening. This was called an awakening because it was a time of revival, of awakening the church from spiritual slumber. Men like John Wesley, who preached the Word of God with power and with authority. George Whitefield, men that preached in the open air because the churches locked them out. But you can't lock out the power of God. You can't lock out the Holy Ghost. God used these men. The second great awakening in the 1800s, men like Finney and Spurgeon and D.L. Moody, who brought the gospel to the church, a restoration of the blood, preaching of the cross, because God was preparing the way to pour out His Spirit at the turning of the century, in the great Welsh revival, with men like Evans Roberts, who prayed, bend thou me, O God. Bend thou me. Let revival start with me. That should be our prayer. God, let revival begin in my heart. I need you. I need you to move. I need you to stir. I need to pray. I need to seek your face. I need that fire of God to burn once again. Then God manifested his power at the turning of the century at the Azusa Street revival that began in Topeka, Kansas, in a small Bible school where the saints of God began to seek the scripture. We need truth. Revival comes by truth, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And these men and women began to search the scriptures, and they came to realize that they did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost that was described in the Word of God. And they began to seek. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And they begin to seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they begin to tarry and wait on God. Jesus told those disciples in Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high, to wait for the promise of the Father. God has promised to us to pour out His Spirit. We must understand that we need to pray. Jude said, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There is no incense without fire. Incense is a type, a representation of prayer. There will be no true prayer, no incense without fire. There is no prayer without flame. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost, to pray with the power of the Holy Ghost, more than our emotion, more than our excitement. Many don't know how to pray today. Prayer is simply talking to God. But when ye pray, believe. We need to believe that God will hear us and believe that God will do what he said that he will do. To pray expecting. Many pray with no expectation. They pray believing for nothing. And that's what they get. When you believe nothing, you will receive nothing. We pray based on the promises of the Word of God, that God will do what He said that He will do. We must understand our need today, that the church has indeed lost as a whole the power of God, the flame and the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost. Many going through the motions, but where is the true power of the Holy Ghost to bring conviction of sin, to bring the sinners to the cross, to bring the backsliders back to the altar, to demonstrate the power of the Most High God? The world has heard so much preaching. It's time that we see a demonstration of the power of God. The Apostle Paul said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of God and with power." God, give us that demonstration, something that can be seen. "These signs shall follow them that believe." We need the rivers of life to flow once again. Jesus stood in John chapter 7 in the last day, that great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said," not any old way, but as the Bible teaches, we must worship God in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." There is much commotion today and much strange fire. We will agree that much that is promoted today in the name of Christianity is not of God. Jesus said, "Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." There's been much talk today about strange fire. Nadab and Abihu were men in the Bible, priests that offered strange fire, and God consumed them. What that meant is they offered fire that did not come from God. God lit the fire on the altar, and the priests were to take that fire every time they lit a candle, every time they took a censer, every time they offered incense. The fire was to come from the throne, from the presence of a holy God. And yes, there is strange fire. The devil does have a counterfeit. We agree with that 100%, that much of what is being promoted today is not of God. There is much fanaticism and many fruitcakes out there, if we can use that word, that are just not of God. But that does not mean that there is not a true, there is not a real, and there is not a genuine power of the Holy Ghost. God is not dead. He is alive. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Jesus Christ has not changed. He is the same yesterday, he is the same today, and he is the same forever. He is the same. And if he healed yesterday, he's still healing today, or else he's changed. We need to believe him. Healing is part of the atonement. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The price has been paid. We're simply believing God for what Jesus has already provided at the cross. He paid the price in his divine blood for our salvation. Yes, friend, we are saved by grace. Everything we receive from God is by grace, but we must have faith, for without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And faith only comes one way, by hearing of the word of God. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is produced when God reveals his word to your heart, to your soul, to your spirit, not just reading it, not just blabbing and grabbing and naming and claiming, but faith is produced when God germinates his word down in the very depths of your soul, and you know that you know that you know that God has spoken to you, and no devil in hell can convince you otherwise, and you can stand rest assured on the word of God that he will do what he said that he will do, and that is faith. And we need to understand that by faith, we're believing God for an outpouring in these last days, that God has indeed promised to manifest his power one more time. The church was birthed in power, and the plan of the living God is not going out a dud. More than emotion, more than just fast singing, more than man's program. We don't need man's programs. We, the church, needs to see a demonstration one more time of the power of the Holy Ghost, where Peter and John went to the temple and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." But such as we have, the church has lost what it once had. We are praying that God stirs you today to respond to the word of God, to begin to pray for a moving of the Holy Ghost, a revival first in your life, friend, that you need a revival to begin with you, a spiritual awakening, a greater desire for the things of God. And friend, if you are listening today and you're not in a church where the word of God is preached, it is your responsibility to find a church that preaches the word of God. Because when you stand before God, you alone are responsible for your soul. And God has given us the word. But today there are many churches, many men that are standing in the pulpits across the land. They're not preaching the full counsel of God. They are tickling ears. They are telling stories. They are promoting activity and excitement and fun that will not produce life. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
As we close this Bible study today, we want to thank Brother DeRocher for bringing forth the prophetic scriptures and sharing with us the word of God. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast that comes to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 on this radio station. And we want to thank the Lord for all of you that have tuned in today. You can reach us on our website at abidinglightchurch.com. You can go there and also get some other preaching messages under the sermons tab, and all of our radio broadcasts that we do, we try to upload them onto the website. So you can go to abidinglightchurch.com and get some other messages if you'd like to hear more preaching and ministering of the Word of God. You can also go and find us on the Facebook. We have a Facebook page here at the Abiding Light Church. It's under Abiding Light Pentecostal Church. And we're over here on the west side of Manchester. That is the Abiding Light Pentecostal Church on 417 Granite Street. That's where we are located over here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to come to be with us in a service, we'd love to have you. We're over here at 417 Granite Street. Our Sunday school starts at 10:15 and our regular morning worship at 11 o'clock every Sunday. We also have Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Bible study. So we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in today. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. Until next Saturday, God bless you.